Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1914 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The new digital ham video system on the International Space Station is fully commissioned. Another shortwave intruder is found in the 40-meter band. United Kingdom hams petition their telecommunications regulator to get back to enforcing the rules. Vietnam confirms expanded ham radio spectrum. The Crimea will not count as a new DXCC entity, and radio is used to wake up a comet exploration probe. Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1914. It's coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jeff Clark, KAJAC.
It's my privilege to proceed to the ham video transmitter's functional commissioning. I feel honored to inaugurate this new amateur radio educational facility, which will enhance space conversations between crew members and students. I congratulate ARIES for this acquisition, and I wish ham video long life and plenty of successful and fascinating school contacts.
That's the voice of International Space Station Commander Koichi Wakata, KC-5ZTA, operating station OR-4ISS from the International Space Station. This during the live ceremony commissioning the new digital video ham station on board the orbiting outpost. Gaston Bertels, ON4WF, is the ARISS European chairman. In a press release, Bertels said that at 1823 UTC, on Sunday, April 13th, Commander Wakata placed the digital ham video system into full operation, while ground monitors G4KLB, F6DZP, IKSLD, and others received the signal. It was also streamed live over the British Amateur Radio Club's video server. The high-quality digital amateur television signal was received for about 6 minutes. During that time, Commander Wakata answered a series of questions that had been prepared in the manner of a school contact and performed in a microgravity experiment. Here's just a quick sample.
First question, is it noisy in Columbus? No, it is very quiet and comfortable to work in Columbus. Second question, is there a constant airflow that one can feel? Yes. We have intra-module and inter-module ventilation, and we can feel constant airflow in ISS.
The full commissioning of the ham video system recorded and is now online at several sources for anyone to watch. One is on YouTube at tinyurl.com/new-iss-ham-video. The IARU monitoring system newsletter reports interference from broadcast stations to amateur radio operations in the hobby's exclusive segment of the 40-meter band. The report notes that the source of the interfering signals has been terraced to Radio Hargeisa in Somaliland on 7120 kHz and Khartoum in the Sudan on 7200 kHz. The complete International Amateur Radio Union Monitoring System Region Newsletter can be read at the URL found in this week's printed Amateur Radio Newsline report. Over in the United Kingdom, the Southgate News reports that a petition is being circulated in the hopes of getting telecommunications regulator back into the ham radio enforcement business, at least in regard to one repeater that is reportedly suffering from user abuse. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, has more.
The petition from the UK ham community to telecommunications regulator Ofcom reads as follows, and we quote, "As you are aware, the GB3PZ amateur radio repeater has been plagued by, amongst others, a particular unlicensed individual for many months. Through lack of action by yourselves, you are effectively allowing him/them to continue to prevent licensed operators from using it. Most licensed users of GB3PZ are now very frustrated by the lack of any help from Ofcom in this matter. Action is long overdue, and an example needs to be made to prevent copycat abusers. The repeater keeper has invested a considerable sum in the development of what was once a very popular repeater, which is now in danger of becoming a white elephant. The address of this most prolific abuser has been located and provided to yourselves some months ago. We ask you to take action now." End quote. According to Southgate, after the 2008 through 2009 fiscal year, Ofcom ceased publishing its prosecution and formal warning statistics and removed all prosecution statistics from its website. Some UK hams have openly speculated that the reason these statistics are no longer available is because the regulatory body has stopped undertaking enforcement action, at least in regard to those instances involving amateur radio. The ham radio community contends that this is a breach of the United Kingdom's Wireless Telegraphy Act of 2006. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
As we go to air, there's been no statement from Ofcom in regard to this petition or what enforcement action it might eventually take. Members of the amateur radio and shortwave listening communities are invited to take part as monitoring stations in the upcoming High Frequency Coordination Commission of the International Radio for Disaster Relief, or IDAR, project. This event takes place during the Media Summit on Climate Change, Information, Communication Technologies, and Disaster Risk Reduction, slated Jakarta, Indonesia, on June 4th through the 5th. This exercise will simulate a major disaster occurring in Southeast Asia, and multiple international broadcasters will be cooperating to support coordinated humanitarian coverage for the impacted region. As such, SWL reports will be very much welcome. More is on the web at tinyurl.com/IDAR-2014. Some previously rumored news regarding spectrum expansion for hams in Vietnam is now official. Following the new national radio band plan, published in November 2013 and now signed by the nation's president, Vietnamese amateurs can now apply to operate between 7,100 kilohertz and 7,200 kilohertz on 40 meters. This in addition to 7,000 to 7,100 kilohertz that they already had. But that's not all. On the 80-meter band, now runs from 3,500 to 3,900 kilohertz, which is an increase of 100 kilohertz, and on 30 meters from 10.1 to 10.15 megs. And more remarkably, the Vietnamese Amateur Radio Club says hams in that nation have also been officially granted access to 472 through 479 kilohertz on 600 meters, in addition to 1,800 to 2,000 kilohertz on 160. There's only one caveat. To gain access to this new spectrum, hams in Vietnam must apply to use each of these new or expanded bands when they get or renew their license. In DX Upfront, word that the Crimea will not be counted as a separate entity for DXCC credit. After the Crimea voted to break away from the Ukraine and become a part of the Russian Federation, the ARRL Awards Committee was tasked with evaluating the situation against the DXCC rules. Its findings are that neither Russia nor the Ukraine is a rare entity, and the vast majority of confirmations used for DXCC credit for either do not involve Crimea. In other words, a QSL with a call sign issued by the administration of Ukraine and showing the entity name is Ukraine counts as Ukraine. A QSL with a call sign issued by the administration of Russia and showing the entity name is Russia counts as Russia. A QSL that satisfies neither condition does not count for either entry. That means Crimea is not a DXCC entity unto itself. 13 members of Camp Ham's group will be operating GS3PYE/P from the Isle of Lewis from April 26th through May 3rd. The Isle of Lewis is the northern part of Lewis and Harris and is the largest island of the Outer Hebrides of Scotland. Activity will be on 80 through 2 meters using all bands and modes, a pair of 2 meter to 70 centimeter and 2 meter to 23 centimeter stations will be dedicated to satellite contacts. 2 meter and 23 centimeter EME will be attempted using a low-power portable station into Yagi antennas, with this part of the exploration mainly focused on digital operation using modes developed by Joe Taylor, K1JT. In addition to the ham bands, the group will be active on the major social networks before, during, and after the trip. You can check on the progress or interact with the operators via their blog at dx.camb-hams.com. And while it did not last as long as its planners had hoped, the good news is that the recently concluded VK9MT operation from Mellish Reef has been approved for DXCC credit. Once the confirmation's in your hands, you can request credit for having made contact with VK9MT. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N5YYU repeater serving Clinton, Arkansas.
United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Perrette Bahara, and FCC Acting Enforcement Bureau Chief Travis LeBlanc have announced the unsealing of two complaints, both seeking the forfeiture of radio equipment that was allegedly used in the illegal broadcast of pirate radio stations on a total of four different FM frequencies in the metro New York City area. This was followed by an April 2nd raid by FCC agents and deputy U.S. marshals who served warrants and seized radio equipment and production equipment at two separate locations. According to the complaints made public in Manhattan Federal Court and various unsealed documents associated with two warrants, FCC agents had identified commercial space on West 181st Street in the Bronx as the production studio for RIKA, R-I-K-A, RIKA FM, which the FCC says was illegally broadcasting its programming on 94.5 and 94.9 megahertz. FCC agents also identified a residence on St. Nicholas Avenue in Manhattan as the location of radio transmission equipment by means of which RIKA FM was also illegally broadcasting. Those frequencies were not announced. According to the FCC's LeBlanc, these alleged pirate radio stations were for-profit businesses that broke the law in order to line their own pockets while disturbing legitimate broadcasters. LeBlanc added that they should be out of business and off the air. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in the newsroom in Los Angeles. Jeff?
What further punitive action may be taken against the operators of these stations is not known at this time. The FCC has issued an official citation to CAM Electronics Distributing, Inc. for programming into a transmitter frequencies for which the operator of the device was not authorized in violation of Section 90.427, paragraph B of the Commission's rules. This past January 28th, agents from the Enforcement Bureau's New York office conducted an investigation and observed private land mobile station WPZV-506 transmitting on 455.500 megahertz from the 30th Street Men's Shelter on East 30th in Manhattan. The FCC says that the license for that station does not authorize operation on 455.500. A representative from FJC Security Corporation, to whom the license is issued, informed the agents that its radio vendor, CAM Electronics Distributing, had programmed the frequency into its radio equipment. In a subsequent telephone conversation on January 29 and in an email on February 20th, a CAM representative acknowledged that the company had programmed the radio transmitting equipment that FTC Security Corporation was using. Now, in issuing the citation to CAM, the FCC has told the company that if it again violates Section 90.427B of the rules, the commission may impose monetary forfeitures not to exceed $16,000 for each such violation or each day of a continuing violation and up to $122,500 for any single act. In addition, further violations can result in seizure of equipment as well as criminal sanctions, including imprisonment. Ocean City, Maryland officials have announced that the resort town will be getting into the radio business. This by acquiring two FM stations through a FEMA-sponsored hazard mitigation grant. The FM stations that Ocean City has just acquired with a $55,000 grant could be live by summer. Once operational, they'll be primarily used as a way to get out critical emergency information in the event of massive storms like Hurricane Sandy and Irene that rocked the resort in consecutive years. Ocean City officials say that those two storms showed just how ineffective the town's long-standing AM station was in disseminating critical emergency information. They believe that these two FM stations, which will broadcast out of the Ocean City Public Safety Building, will provide the emergency dissemination channels needed. Germany's SSB Electronic GmbH and Vibroplex LLC here in the States have announced an exclusive agreement for Vibroplex to distribute the SSB electronic product line in North America. Vibroplex is the oldest continuously operating business in amateur radio. Founded by Horace Martin, inventor of the semi-automatic Morse code key in 1905. The company is now located in Knoxville, Tennessee, and continues to manufacture the original Martin key as well as a complete line of some 30 keys, including bugs, iambic paddles, single lever paddles, and traditional straight keys. On the other side of the Atlantic, SSB Electronic is well known for its range of VHF high-performance products, including both standard and auto-switchable receive preamps, sequencers, and switches. It also produces the Echoflex coaxial cable, the Zeus ZS1 SDR equipment, and a line of VHF preamps and accessory equipment. And a very happy birthday to the Sanjian Company, which is marking this company's 40th year of operation. The Los Angeles-based Sanjian USA is best known to hams and SWLs for its shortwave and longwave receiver designs, including the iconic ATS-803A. A private label version of the ATS-803A was sold by Radio Shack as the realistic DX-440, with both still in demand on the used gear market. Since then, the Sanjian has expanded its product line and now includes AM/FM, HD radio, DAB, and DAB+, plus internet connectivity receivers as well as pocket, portability, and utility tuners. Mac users take note, Dog Park Software has released version 5.53 of its MacLogger DX. The new version includes direct Apple script logging from Mac Doppler, added CW macro file blank line separators, faster split setting, a new Google Maps API, and much more. More is on the web at dogparksoftware.com/MacLoggerDX.html. Amateur radio was featured in the ninth grade school book, Our World Through English, published by the government of Andhra Pradesh, India. A four-page section concentrates on the disaster and emergency communications capabilities of amateur radio. For those interested, the book's available via the web at tinyurl.com/india-ham-schoolbook for 35 rupees, which is about 60 cents in United States currency, plus shipping. Miles Burke, VK6MAB, has put together a website for those that are considering taking up ham radio as a hobby or for those who have recently gotten their license and want to learn more. The site is written in plain language and avoids all the specialized ham-speak words that often confuse newcomers to the hobby. And while located down under in Australia, it's definitely a site for newcomers and those wanting to become hams, living anywhere in the world. You can sample it for yourself at www.enjoyhamradio.com. Due to circumstances beyond planners' control, the 2014 Rocky Mountain Division ARRL convention, planned for Laramie, Wyoming, has been canceled. Instead, for this year, it's merged into the famed Duke City Ham Fest, slated to take place August 8th through the 10th in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The Duke City Ham Fest is an annual three-day amateur radio convention, this year to be held at the Hotel Albuquerque, which is one of the Duke City's largest hotel and convention venues. Details of the Ham Fest are on the web at DukeCityHamFest.org. A separate website for the ARRL Rocky Mountain Division aspect of the gathering is reported to be under construction. Some names in the news. First up, Nobel Laureate Joe Taylor, K1JT, who was the guest of honor at the ceremony to reopen the restored 25-meter Dwingeloo radio telescope in the Netherlands. With the renovation complete, the radio telescope will be used by amateur radio experimenters, amateur astronomers, and budding researchers. It had previously been used for several years by Dutch radio amateurs for EME work, including stints during the past ARRL EME contests. The dish is already slated to see some amateur radio use on the 23-centimeter band. In a special meeting held Tuesday, April 1st, AMSAT Board of Directors unanimously approved the selection of Jerry Buxton, N0JY of Granbury, Texas, as its new Vice President of Engineering. N0JY became involved in the amateur radio satellites with AO7 and joined AMSAT in April 1983. He currently holds an extra class license and is also licensed in Columbia as HK5JY. He's also active on terrestrial ham radio from the high-frequency bands through 1.2 gigs. Also, Steve Coy, K8UD of Beaver Creek, Ohio, has assumed the seat on the AMSAT Board of Directors formerly held by AA2TX. Coy was originally elected by the AMSAT membership as a board alternate in the 2013 election and will hold a voting seat through the next board election that takes place later this year. Buxton and Coy replaced Tony Montero, AA2TX, who passed away on March 26th. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio News Line, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org, and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. A Another delay in the SpaceX resupply mission to the International Space Station also put on hold the orbiting of more than 100 tiny short-lived satellites called Sprites. Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB, reports.
The SpaceX Falcon booster and its Dragon delivery container was last slated to go toward orbit on Monday, April 14th. But the discovery of a last-minute technical problem placed the launch on hold until April 18th at the earliest. In addition to several tons of supplies for the crew on board the ISS, the Dragon is also carrying the KickSat CubeSat, which in turn is loaded with the Sprite microbirds. And now comes word that Zach Manchester, KD2BHC, of the KickSat project, is offering prizes to the first stations to copy telemetry from KickSat and from the Sprite PicoSats. The prizes will include a number of articles related to the flight, including patches prepared for the mission. Unless there are further launch delays, KickSat will release the Sprites on April 30th. The KickSat mothership's telemetry will be on 437.505 megahertz and 2401 to 2436.2 megahertz. All of the Sprites are on 437.240 megahertz, but each Sprite has a unique pair of pseudo-random number or PRN codes that marks its transmission and allowing those on the ground to tell them apart. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB reporting.
More information is on this near space experiment on the web at tinyurl.com/kicksat. The special call sign 343VHF will be used by the Greek Aeolus balloon flight slated for May the 11th. As of now, the balloon will be carrying a payload of APRS transmitters along with QRP gear and 2 and 10 meter CW. According to M0LPT, the high-altitude balloon will be released from the area of Megalopolis. The primary goal is to reach an altitude of 98,000 feet to gather propagation data from any station being able to copy its beacons. The balloon will provide real-time location data on 144.899 megahertz and will be trackable online at aprs.fi. Reception reports can be filed online at j43vhf.wordpress.com. QSL cards have been sent out to those radio amateurs who participated in the Juno Earth flyby experiment on October 9th of 2013. During the experiment, hams worldwide were requested to send the word hi in very slow Morse at about 1/25th of a word per minute toward the Juno spacecraft during its Earth flyby. The Juno team confirmed that more than 1,400 radio amateurs participated, representing all seven continents. NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory captured a stunning video of the mid-level solar flare on April 2nd. According to the space agency, this particular mid-level flare of magnitude M6.5 erupted from the sun on April 2nd. This video from NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory shows the flare in a bend of two wavelengths of extreme ultraviolet light at 171 angstroms and 304 angstroms, colorized in yellow and red respectively to make them visible to the human eye. You can see it for yourself at tinyurl.com/april-solar-flare. On the air, listen out for special event station HO100CANAL between April 19th and August 15th to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Panama Canal. This operation is being sponsored by the Radio Amateurs of the Republic of Panama with activity planned on 160 through 10 meters using CW, sideband, PSK, and RIDI. The QSL manager for the operation is HP1AVS. For more information on the 100th anniversary of the Panama Canal, look for the link in this week's printed edition of the Amateur Radio Newsline. And a special event station will be on the air April 23rd to celebrate St. George's Day from the Church of St. George and St. Mary at Cressley in the United Kingdom. GV0STG will be operating on the 40-meter band from around 0900 to 1830 UTC, plus 2 meters and other HF bands if conditions permit. For more information, please visit GV0STG on QRZ.com. NDX-E20HHK will lead a group of operators to activate New Island in the southern part of Thailand between April 18th and the morning of the 20th. New Island, also known as AS-145, is a rare island-on-the-air entity in Thailand and was last activated in 2000 as E-29DX, QSL via E-21EIC. A group of Colombian operators will activate the call sign 5K0M from San Andres Island between April 19th through the 24th. This operation takes place from the Colombian Red Cross facility with stations on 40 through 6 meters. Their primary purpose is to encourage local amateur radio operators on the island to return to their activities within the hobby. QSL via HK9 IPT. Members of the Kilmarnock and Loudoun Amateur Radio Club will be operating from Scotland's Isle of Cana from April 21st through the 25th. Stations will be on 160 through 2 meters using CW, sideband, and several data modes. QSL is directed on the air. DL3LUM will be on the air as D44TXU from Santa Maria, Sal Island between April 19th and the 25th. This operation will be holiday style on 20 meters and up using QRP CW only. QSL via DL3LUM direct or by the DARC QSL Bureau. IW5ELA will again be active stroke TK from Corsica between April 25th and May 1. This operation will be holiday style on 40, 20, 15, and 12, and possibly 6 meters. Mode mentioned is mainly CW QSL via his home call sign. And finally this week, a successful wake-up call has gone out to an interesting space probe, and it has responded in a positive way, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Hal Rogers, KHCMD.
The Philae lander, which Europe hopes to put on the surface of a comet later this year, has been reactivated. This after 3 years in deep space hibernation. The small probe is currently riding piggyback on the Rosetta Space Probe, which was launched a decade ago to rendezvous with the comet 67P. As previously reported, Rosetta was itself brought out of space sleep in January. Both Rosetta and Philae have radioed back to controllers here on Earth that they are healthy and are ready for mission. The Rosetta probe and Philae lander should arrive at the ICE comet in August. After a period of mapping, Rosetta will then release Philae in November on its challenging attempt to attach itself to 67P. Being only 3.5 miles in diameter, the comet's gravitational field will be very weak, and the 220-pound lander will use harpoons and ice screws to try to hold itself to the surface of 67P. I'm Hal Rogers, K8CMD.
The twin scientific space probes are currently about 407 million miles from Earth, with about 237 million miles to go until they reach comet 67P. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, Twit TV Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available in Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Raman Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Before we go, a reminder that the nominating season for the 2014 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Awards now open. Created in 1986, this award is offered to recognize the achievements of a radio amateur aged 19 or younger for his or her accomplishments in service to the nation, his or her community, or to the advancement of the state of the art through amateur radio. Nominees must reside in any one of the United States' 50 states, its possessions, or in any of the 10 Canadian provinces. Complete details, rules, and a required nominating form in Microsoft Word format are available on our website at www.arnewsline.org/YHOTY. Nominating forms can also be obtained by sending a self-addressed stamped envelope to Amateur Radio Newsline, Inc., Young Ham of the Year Award, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Please note that all nominating forms and support documentation become the property of Amateur Radio Newsline and cannot be returned. The cutoff date for nominations to be postmarked or electronically filed is midnight, May 30th, 2014. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, I'm Jeff Clark, K8JAC, in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.